Hey, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. I think this is episode 139. I'm here with Mark White.
Wow, that's a lot of episodes.
I know, right?
And it's nice to be here.
Cool. Well, we're just chilling in the back of the La Nui green room.
Like real celebrities that we are.
Real pimps. And yeah. I heard that you were just on the C-Free and DJ Tandem show.
I was. That was fun. I was on a lot of podcasts this week. That was Monday night.
Yeah, so cool. So yeah, I've been on that the last two times before. That's a fucking great podcast. It's good to have like a community of New Orleans podcasts. C-Free DJ Tandem. We got Pickle Scoop and Metairie holding it down. We got Metal Hand of God and Metairie holding it down, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what we were talking about. I was talking to C-Free and DJ. They were talking about that, like trying to get a whole little podcast scene going here, which is great.
Yeah, it's like, let's just be guests on each other's shows and do this up.
Right.
So you were telling stories about how you're kind of back in Los Angeles. You're into the S&M, the BDSM.
Oh, you heard about that?
A little bit. I was hearing some of the
now DJ and C-Free are they're novices. They don't know anything about it. You, it seems to me, probably have a little more experience in this. Am I correct?
Well, I've been in relationships and had you know, different. I think the biggest thing I'm into is like blindfolds. It's very simple.
Right.
Hand restraints, very simple.
Right.
You're going to take turns in a hand restraint, and I'm going to eat your box out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I'm going to have sex with you.
Right.
And the limbs, previously, before the tied up in the blindfold, they said yes.
Right.
Important.
Yes.
Then you get them tied up in the blindfold. Then it's just you go to town. You do whatever you want.
Right, because they can't see you. They exactly. They can't touch you. I know. I've been there. Mm-hmm. Actually, have you ever fucked a girl where you both were blindfolded? Oh, I forgot
I think
that.
So.
I forgot
yeah,
to
yeah,
ask
yeah.
about the language here. Can I use?
Of course,
use any
it's
language?
A podcast.
I don't know. Some podcasts you can. Some podcasts are PG-13.
That's disgusting.
Well, it's not disgusting. Going. I mean, they're doing their show. I understand. Like if it's syndicated on radio, sometimes that you can't use language.
So you were eating her pussy.
No, I. excuse me. You're both blindfolded.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've done that.
So
yeah.
No, I just remind me of a story, and I'll get back to the blindfolding and the S&M thing. But I was on Gary Garver's show in the podcast in Hollywood a couple months right before the Floyd Mayweather fight, like in May or whatever. And he's like, do you, because I have my own podcast, I did, The Dark Mark Show, and hopefully once I meet the freaks and the S&M people here in New Orleans, we'll get that back up. But
oh, you need a good stable of freaks to sustain your
and, well, I don't. Podcast. I mean, I could sit here and interview you and interview the comics here, but I'd rather, and this is, I'm just for my own amusement, I'm trying to find the drag queens, the freaks, the just interesting oddball people in New Orleans. I've met a few already, and but I want to make sure I got enough that I can get a good collection, because then you'll meet people through them.
So you want to meet more of like the fringe flavor kind of...
Always. To me, they're more interesting.
Right.
On the whole, some of them are not. Some of them are just fringe to be fringe, but most have an interesting story and have a lot of interesting things. And I like... Because my podcast, I did not... When I started a podcast, which is mandatory for comedians, you have to have one. So I was like, well, most of the podcasts are, you know, comedians interviewing comedians. And I've got so many weird friends outside of the comedy community. I think it'd be more, for me, more interesting, rather than I'm on your podcast or on my podcast, to bring people in that would never be on a podcast.
Right.
And have them do crazy stuff. And it took a while to figure out my voice and... It basically, when my friend Danny Danger, who's a stunt woman, was being tased on having her nipples tased on the show, I was like, okay, I see where I'm going here. I see the vision.
Yeah. Well, but, just her boobies were lighted up, so you were just like a moth to the flame,
and
just like going for them.
Her nipples were tattooed into hearts.
Whoa.
And but we had to bleep that out for YouTube. We had
okay,
to
Mark, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I want
anyway,
to know,
I was
call yourself a goth comedian.
Yes.
What is your traditional religious background? Did your parents raise you Catholic?
I really don't have one.
You were totally agnostic.
Not totally agnostic. Every 5 years or so, my mother would find Jesus, and we'd go to, like, we went to Methodist church for a while. We went to, I think, Lutheran church for a while. I went to a Catholic church for a while. But it wouldn't last more than 3 or 4 months. So my parents are not really religious. You know, I my father went to Catholic school, but he had to quit. He was working, full-time working when he was 13, so he didn't really, you know, have to abide by the rules. He had to support a family. And my mother just, you know, she just, so we're not religious at all, really. And so the Gothic doesn't have anything to do with religion. I mean, there's religious, there's iconography, but there's not.
Any kind of Wiccanism going on these days? You move to the land of voodoo.
I know.
New Orleans.
I know. I've gone out with Wiccans, but I'm not Wiccan myself.
Look, sucking some Wiccan tit does not make you a Wiccan yourself.
I didn't say
sir.
It made me a Wiccan. I said I've gone out with Wiccans. I have friends that are Wiccans.
It drives me crazy when anyone's like, you're a doctor. They're like, I dated a doctor. And it's like, oh, so what you're saying is you fucked a doctor. Like,
yes.
You don't, that, and that, and the edumacation ain't that STD and shit. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
So I didn't get any STDs, but I have fucked a Wiccan or two. But no, I'm not really, I'm actually Buddhist, if you really want to know the truth, but a lazy Buddhist. I should meditate more, and actually, that's part of the reason I came down here, was to make time for things that I didn't have time for in LA, like meditation, like exercise, like diet, and really focusing on that and focusing on making myself a better person, because I was really just
why couldn't you do that in Los Angeles?
I could, but it was I was just I was working. I was working a full time job. And I was getting lazy. Really, I was sort of set in my ways. I had a routine. I had a full time job. I was doing comedy. I was doing the podcast, and it just turned into routine. And every time I would start, you know, I would start meditating, or I would start exercising, start dieting, I would just go back to bad habits. And you know, and that, so it just got to the point where I really, the reason I'm here is I got a notice to leave the sweet guest house that I was living at in LA.
Mm-hmm.
A 60-day notice to leave. And I was like, well, I can get another place in LA, but I don't see a lot of change happening, even if I get a new place. Or I could just take some money in my 401k, take a chance. I love New Orleans. Every time I've been here, it just blows my mind, and see what I can do out here. And, you know, give it a year, see what happens. And that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, I kind of had a similar thing. It's like, I was in Los Angeles, I got fucking fired from a reality show. And I was like, no matter how far I go up this world of, like, being a story producer, I see everything in the future kind of going towards Netflix. Everything is different now, this economy.
Right.
So I was like, I don't think that being a cable story producer is, like, I just don't
Doesn't
see
Netflix
it in the
future.
Doesn't
Netflix have any reality shows? They will, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're doing everything. So it's just like the business was changing in a way where it was just so hard to jump from show to show to show. And
right.
I had this other job that was a day job at Deluxe, you know, that I didn't like and stuff. And I was like, if I get my master's in screenwriting, then I could teach screenwriting.
Right.
I could use that platform for legitimacy to get an agent,
sure.
blah, blah, blah. So it's like, I went the academic route to go back in, you know,
there you
just
go.
For a little level of, but yeah, it's like, sometimes, every now and then, you gotta shake things up.
You gotta reboot. You gotta reboot yourself.
I'm moving to a new place on just like an idea of I'm gonna accomplish this is a good way to kind of shake out some bullshit from your life.
Well,
right?
that's exactly what I'm doing. So
right.
So and you know, so far I've only been here a month, but had a great time. I'm writing a book too. Writing a couple books actually. One is you know, just a collection of my just a comedy collection. Short stories and bits of mine, and the other one is either gonna be called The Goth Interviews or Interviews on the Dark Side, where because when I stopped doing my podcast, I was like, man, I miss interviewing interesting people and finding out about them, but I have so many people that I know and some that are, you know, someone in the public eye at least that would get some attention,
mm-hmm.
that I would love to write a book of just musicians. People in the S&M scene, people in the horror scene, and just people, you know, just random people, and people in the club
scene. S&M scene. Now, when you say the S&M scene, so is it like every city you go to, there's kind of like a swingers group who like it becomes routine where they just like, oh, it's Wednesday night, I guess I'm gonna eat meatballs and a salad, and then I'm gonna fuck Sheila, and you know what I mean?
Like, well, you know, I'm looking at you, and I think the first time I looked at you, I thought the same thing. I mean, I could see you, and I've seen guys that look like you that have the shaved head and the beard in like a total like tight leather outfit. I mean, and just spanking some girl or getting spanked.
Right, right.
I could see you have the face. You have the face of somebody that could be in a fetish scene.
That's so nice of you to say.
Yes, please. Yeah,
I got the beard for it. Yeah, I really want to like shove this in some like weird dominatrix face, and you know what I mean.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good for
you. I don't know. I think I'm just so focused right now. I have so much shit going on that it's like really hard to like think about taking girls on dates and stuff right now. So I don't even.
And you do have, and don't take this the wrong way, because obviously you've intimated that you're heterosexual, and but you do have a face for gay porn too.
Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me. I wish I could use that skill to make money.
Well, I do too.
You got the face for gay porn?
Absolutely. No,
I could see your face taking some loads.
No,
cash.
Thank you very much, but.
I don't mean anything weird by that at all.
No, you're taking loads for cash. That's, you know, it's
oldest profession.
Yeah, but no, gay men. I can walk into a gay bar and just I can get whatever I want.
Oh,
I'm the bear. They like the bears.
How do you be a flirty bear? What's the best way if you're like a heterosexual guy, but you're like broke, but you want to get drunk one night? Like, how do you hustle gay guys for free drinks?
No, you just walk in and
okay.
You just walk in. You see who's making eye contact with you,
right?
And you keep making eye contact with them. They will come over,
swish over.
Yeah.
And, hey, what's going on, Grizzly?
I'm just I'm waiting for a friend, but. And they're like, oh, and usually they offer you, would you like a drink? I'm like, sure. And then, sadly, later on the night, you know, once you get drunk, you get like, oh, not really, I'm not gay, I'm just kind of hanging out.
Right.
Okay. But sometimes, you know, because women can be frustrating, sometimes you got to do that just to see how desirable you are. Sometimes you walk into a gay bar and, you know, and just getting hit on by all these, and I get hit on by crazy, like, model-looking men. Like, you gotta see the men that just go crazy over me.
Yeah.
I did a one-man show in L.A. We were walking down the street on Melrose. This guy could have been, like, on a Calvin Klein model ad. Totally just jerked his head around to check on my ass. And I was walking with three people, and all four of our jaws were on the ground. We're like, holy shit. What, did that just really happen? It really did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
He was just, like, taking a spritz bottle to his muscles and stuff, and he was just like... Oh, what a... Oh, flexing. You know, trying to impress, like...
No, he was just a guy walking down the street, but he had, you know, he had those muscles. He was just a good-looking guy. The type of guy I wish...
How do you know it was your ass? You said you were with two other people.
Oh, no, it was obvious. It could have been them. No, it was obvious.
How?
They were looking straight at me and not them. It was so obvious. I mean, he kind of looked at me... Mm-hmm. Sort of half nodded at me, but
yeah, it's like you never know like what scene you could fall into, and then all of a sudden you're the prize bear, you're the show pony bear.
I am a show pony bear.
And
yes,
and
so.
A certain, it just it takes all kinds.
When they had the was it the Pride Parade a few weeks ago?
Decadence Fest.
Yeah, they it's very popular there.
I had to drive. I was Uber driving during Decadence Festival, and it was crazy. So many gay dudes. Now, I just Uber drive, so anytime there's a festival of any sort, anytime anyone's...
You gotta do it.
I'm Uber driving. Of course. I'm Uber driving during the Saints games. I don't enjoy myself. I just Uber drive during all those holidays.
So what's more annoying, a Saints game or Decadence?
Oh, my God. I had to clean the glitter out the back of my car during
Decadence. I would imagine you have to, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's wearing body glitter. They're wearing little, like, seriously, one guy
G-strings.
Had, like, what's, like, the Victoria's Secret, like, angel wings and stuff like this?
Yeah.
Just covered in glitter, you know.
Oh, and then,
I mean?
You know, the assless pants.
Yeah. A lot of chaps, and I'm just like, okay. Yeah, a lot of people, like, sit in a thong in my car in glitter, and I'm like, okay, but, dude, if I see any fucking brown streak mark, I'm going to charge you a fucking cleaning fee, dude.
Yeah.
If you shart on the Uber...
Glitter's fine, skid marks are not.
Yeah, I'm going to check.
Have you ever had to charge a cleaning fee, really?
Yeah, I did recently, actually. So...
You gotta tell that story.
Well, it's just some, you know, I have Ziplocs in the back of my car, gallon Ziplocs, you know, and so some, you know, lady and her husband, you know, went into my car and she was a little tipsy. And immediately I said, because she was stumbling in the car.
Right, right.
Immediately I said, if you feel sick, there are gallon Ziplocs right there. So please feel free to use them. Feel free to use them.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
use them.
Yeah.
If you feel sick, have it in your hand.
Right.
And then it's not until we get on the freeway, they were staying at a hotel near the airport.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, can we open the window? I was like, yeah, sure. And so they open the window, and then she puts her head out the window to puke.
Oh, jeez.
Pukes, I'd say 75% in outside the window.
Right.
But it sprays all over the side of my car.
Of course, yeah.
And then puts her head back in and just pukes downward onto the ground.
Oh.
You know? And it's like, did she even touch the plastic bag? No.
No.
It's like...
It was there for her.
You know, and then the guy, like, you know, helped get some of the bigger chunks out, but then you're down for like 3 days. You got to put your mats in the washer machine,
course,
you know,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
spraying it with Febreze and stuff.
Right.
And only like today, after 4 days of Febrezing every single time I start,
mm-hmm.
like when I go to sleep, I Febreze all over it.
Right, right, right.
And then I like put baking soda in
to
the car,
yeah, yeah.
vacuum it out.
Right.
Put baking soda on all the
right,
seats,
right, right,
vacuum
right.
it out.
Right, right, right.
Do it 7 times, you know? So that was my life over this past weekend.
Wow, and what was the cleaning fee that you charged?
I think it's $200, but you just hit this happen. They also prompt you to take a photograph of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Uber mandates that they... Okay.
Yeah.
So,
your
so
credit
probably,
card's on file. So
yeah,
if
so
you
he's
fucking
probably
gonna
have, yeah, he's probably going to have a little surprise if he doesn't remember in the morning.
Yeah, but it's like... But it's like, what do you expect is going to happen?
It's in that little fine.
Yeah, because also agreement. You're down for work for a couple of days fixing it, you know?
Right.
So it's not like you can just go, oh, whatever, puke, let me keep making money today.
Right.
No, you're done.
Yeah,
you're down.
Well, you're definitely done for the night.
You know? So it's a bad fucking deal. Anyway, enough about me cleaning puke with my fucking life.
We could do the whole show about you cleaning puke.
So have you found the bondage scene in New Orleans?
I have not.
What? There's all these burlesque dancers.
I met burlesque dancers. I met some nice burlesque dancers, and I've met some people. I've only been here a month, but I've met a few people. They're like, we know where to take you, but they've never specific like, this is it. This is it. This is it. I know it's here. It's everywhere.
Now I have a little tip for you. You can use the So on Bourbon Street. There's like a vampire goth bar, and they have cages, and they have like
the dungeon.
The dungeon, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to the dungeon. I know the dungeon.
I mean, like, but wouldn't the scene, if there is one, like, take place there?
No, dungeon actually. And I've been to dungeon 2 or 3 times since I've been here. I always have a good time there. It's not really a goth bar. It's not.
Why? What?
Well, it's just sort of a. It's just well, it's on Bourbon Street. It's just sort of a. Just actually the. When I was here 2 or 3 years ago on Halloween, I went to the dungeon, and the jukebox they had, I've never seen a jukebox like this in my life. It was great for me and my musical taste, because it's 100% metal and industrial music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all Slayer, Metallica, or Ministry, KMFDM, and just real hard industrial, right? Nine Inch Nails. And so I was just like, you know, the music was great all night. I went there, and now it's like Pearl Jam, Tom Petty, and they have some remnants, but it's sort of mainstreaming it. But even then, it wasn't like a goth sort of scene. It was, I mean, people know about it, but it's not. A goth place has to be a place where you can dance by yourself. There's no real place to dance in the dungeon.
Okay,
but it's. I mean, the ambiance is there.
By dance, you mean play? Oh, I do know.
By dance, I mean dance.
There's the there's a fucking orgy club, a group sex club.
Right.
On Gravier Street, near the AC Hotel, a place called the Shanghai Tea Spa or something like that.
Nah, that's going a little on the other end of the spectrum. I'm not a swinger.
Okay.
Now, I have friends that are swingers. They're mostly married.
Well, wouldn't the swingers know the bondage people? Do
probably,
they ever
sometimes.
Have a
sometimes.
Chat?
Probably. It depends. Like in L.A., New York, and a lot of big cities, there's a huge goth and fetish scene, and
right.
it's pretty in your face, and you can find it. Seattle too. A few
there was
places.
An anime convention in town, and I think the Underground.
When was that? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I think that was.
Because they just had one
July
in LA.
Or something
July,
like
yeah,
that.
They,
yeah,
they had one in L.A. About July or August, and it's funny because my friends apparently it jumped the shark this year because too many mainstream people were into anime, and the people that were I've been watching anime since I was, you know, since I was 12 years old, and nobody else liked anime. Now they're like, you know, everybody's dressed like Sailor Moon. It sucks, and so they weren't. The anime convention seems to have jumped the shark and been found mainstream.
Right.
The swingers, like, I have friends that are swingers. It's a really weird lifestyle. I can't imagine, why would I get married to watch somebody fuck my wife and for me to fuck somebody else? What's the
right
point?
It's like the humiliation of it. Some people are like, hate themselves so much that it's like seeing, like, like consenting to a cuckold or consenting to some kind of just watching somebody else fuck your wife. But it's almost like you can't, it's not cheating at all if you're there, if
right,
you're, you know, what I mean, but you're playing with, ooh, is this or isn't this,
right?
That's where the drama is or whatever.
And it usually turns out that when they're dating, because I have a lot of friends like this where the guy's dating a bisexual woman, says, oh, you can go fuck women, and then they get married and she's still fucking women. And he's like, well, wait a second, I gotta have an outlet too. Let's go to a swingers club. And that's sort of how
love
it happens.
But then it just seems like if you went to a swingers club before, you might have a contract. Like, hey, this is okay, but don't do this. This is okay,
yeah,
but then don't do this. And then if they start playing with those rules, then it's like, does that turn you on more because you're broken? So that, like, you know what I mean? Or are those rules the ones that you actually want or whatever?
Right.
It's just, for me, it just gets too complicated. And I'm like a very simple person.
Right.
And I'm a very, like, you know, if I'm really into a girl, it fucking sucks if they go and cheat on you, which
right.
I've had happen.
Right.
And it feels terrible. So why would you,
even,
I don't understand.
With a man or a woman.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't get it. It's not my thing.
If a girlfriend, though, cheats on you with a woman, I think it would be easier. Because then it's like you couldn't have given them that.
But
it's
you
like
could.
If you got... But it, I'm saying if they want more dick, it's like you got a dick, man.
Right, right, right.
You could have handled that situation.
Right.
So what was it? You know,
they
but
want
if it's
to
a,
lick pussy that bad?
If they want to lick pussy, then it's like, oh, well, I don't have a pussy, so I'm ill-equipped
right.
for what you want.
Right.
If that's what you want, right?
I had a nice girlfriend cheated on me with a foursome. Two guys and two girls. It really sucks. Cause
so it was five people total?
No, two guys and the two girls.
Oh, so she
her
was one
another
of the
girl.
Two girls. Okay.
Yeah, so I can't even watch tag team wrestling now. It's horrible. But it's, yeah, so, but, and I sort of thought they were, and they did other things too. Like, she cheated on her. She got me like a few times, but that was the first one. And then they got in a little relationship, and then like the three of us would hang out, and that, with her boyfriend. And you could, in retrospect, especially, but even at the time, you're like, something weird is going on here.
Yeah, yeah. I just gotta avoid all that. It's like, okay, you like them, okay, bye. Like, I just can't handle it. I don't know.
Right.
It's weird.
But yeah, and I even the people that go to swingers clubs just to watch. Like a guy by himself, like, I just want to watch.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a little weird.
That is weird. Well, it's just like porn. I mean, if you're
I guess you
watching...
have to ask permission. And they give you permission, you can watch a fuck. But
if they're like, who's that, what's that with that creepy guy in the corner? They're like, eh, don't worry about it.
Well, no,
it's
to pull up a chair and watch them. Like, you gotta go up to them and say, do you mind if I watch you have, like, if you see them pairing off, say, oh, can I watch you have sex?
Right.
They say yes or no.
Right, right.
And, you know, watch means obviously jerk off to it, but I would think. I've never been to a swingers club.
Or it's just
know.
Like, it, I wonder, I haven't been in there either, but I've dropped off people there on Uber, and they're like, we're going to go fucking be swingers right now. And I was like, okay, go for it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I wonder what's inside. Like, is it just like a series of like cornered off beds? Is it like one big dance floor that people are just wiling out in front of everybody anyway? So it's not like... The level of seclusions, too, like, might be very...
It's weird, yeah. I guess they're all different, but...
I wonder the next morning, they'll most just hose everything off.
You would have
bleach
to.
Bleach everything down.
You want to talk about uses for Breeze. I'm sure they use Breeze all sorts of ways. But
imagine, yeah. What's the... I think then it's like $90
a month. Got the Scotch everything.
Yeah, that's just for fucking cleaning, man. That's just for wiping bleach on everything.
Yeah, I wonder if they charge a cleaning fee at the swingers club.
Yeah. Dude, you shat, though. But you shat, so yeah. It's going
to
be another
We had Ziploc bags for you to shit in. It's, mm-hmm. you know.
And you did not. You shat on the suede. So
yeah.
Your credit card's on file,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, I keep that. That's the other thing. Pissing and shitting, I'm not into it, but I know people that are.
I think I've definitely peed on girlfriends in showers, for sure. When it was like, here, you know, pee on your leg, pee on your leg.
No, it wasn't a sexual thing, though.
It was kind of, I mean, we were having sex at
right.
the time. You know, I don't think it was like a foreplay, but it was kind of like you were in that relationship
right.
anyway where that happened all the time. So
right.
it was just kind of like. But I don't know.
I'm not, in the shower, yeah.
It's just seeing anything shoot out of your dick onto a lady is pretty fantastic.
You know
what I mean?
You like that?
Of course.
Okay.
It's like the visual of like finishing for a long time.
Right.
I think that's what the appeal of peeing is.
Right. It's like, man, if I could shoot a load like
exactly.
This, yeah.
And they say that like peeing feels a tenth as good as an orgasm. And I really think that that is correct. I think that's exactly
depends
where
how much
I would
water you've had to drink that day, but yeah, you might be right.
Sometimes you like after you pee, you're like lightheaded. You're
yeah,
like,
right.
"Fuck,
oh,
that was great."
Oh, that's
you
why
know?
Like you when you're in the urinal, you hear these old guys. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
this stuff is coming out my wiener.
Oh,
it feels fantastic.
I haven't pissed for 3 days.
exactly.
Or sometimes I'll go to Vegas and just to amuse my friends, I'll sit in the urinal and just start like moaning and groaning like that just to. Just they'll be in a stall like fucking like the,
just really hanging
off.
Or just
take your pants and just drop them right down to your ankles and just start fucking moaning and groaning. It's
oh,
so stupid.
Urinal.
Yeah, it's a urinal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
so stupid, but it's fucking hilarious. You just fucking drop. Like
and you explosively shit at the same time.
Right, right, right.
And if. The best I've learned when you're an Uber driver, you gotta learn how to pee everywhere, you know, and hotels are always the best place.
Right.
And the best thing about a hotel is most of them have grand lobbies. They want you to walk in and go, wow, I gotta stay at this hotel
right.
someday. And they all have great bathrooms right on the first floor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and your credit card's not on file. So it's
right.
like if you walk right in and you shit at the urinal, like someone has to clean that up and you
right.
don't pay for anything. You know
right.
what I mean? So,
you've shit in urinals before?
I'm just saying that's living large.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really
just,
taking
hypothetically, you could shit in
I'm
urinal.
Just saying if you want to shit or vomit somewhere and not pay a cleaning fee to Uber,
right.
like a hotel bathroom is definitely.
I, that's a good tip.
It's a system. I'm
yeah.
saying exploit the system,
right.
people.
But these are nice hotels. This isn't like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some flophouse hotels I've seen in New Orleans. There's not a lot around. Like, there's really crappy hotels in New York and L.A. But
there's, like, that, like, friggin' Maison's Inn on Claiborne or whatever that
right.
looks half-abandoned. And
right.
the palace at Canal and Claiborne. It's, like, Canal and Rampart.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, right at the top there, that's been abandoned.
Right.
You know what I want to talk about is the graveyard situation, because we cannot bury our dead here, and what we do is they have a series of mausoleums, and then they put the bodies in there,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll just fucking rot,
right.
and then they'll scrape Granny to the back of the thing, and then they'll put Granny's name, like Granny Smith or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And then they'll put, like, little Billy Smith in there. And then he'll rot.
They'll keep
and then they'll
yeah.
shove him back and put Billy Smith on the side. And
right.
then it'll be Tommy Smith, and he'll fucking rot.
Right.
Like, isn't that like a ritual of how to make a haunted, like the most haunted place ever?
Yeah.
You're the goth guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have. I didn't know. I mean, I actually took the vampire tour the first time I was here. And that's, of course. And that's how I found out. I didn't really think about it, but you can't really bury people here, and that makes sense now. And they had a really creepy vampire story about the two brothers. I don't know if you ever heard the story about the two brothers. It's two brothers. For some reason, all these stories sort of punctuated with somebody leaping out of a window bloodied and being found in the street. But they had these two brothers, I think they were from some Latin American country, or they were from Europe or something. And they lived somewhere in French Quarter. And what happens one day, like, people heard somebody just jumping out a window on the second floor, screaming, was bloodied. Cops were called, go into their place, and they had about 20 people there that were just, that their blood was being drained, and they were barely alive. And these two brothers, they buried them. I mean, they killed them. I mean, it was a real, you know, it wasn't like now where all the appeals, they were just like, you know, hang them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the 1930s, I think. So a year later, when they go to scrape the coffin and reuse them, they open up the coffin, no ash, nothing. It was like nobody was ever in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were freaked out. And then one of their victims there, on the vampire tour later, shows up because it was like a little kid that was like 8 years old. And then we grew up in the 70s. Apparently he used to go to Lafitte's, the oldest bar in the country, Lafitte's, and pick up sailors or pick up guys, take them to his house and drain their blood too. So, yeah, the whole reusing the coffin thing, I guess it's recycling. It's old school.
But it seems like there's almost like if you were
in the cold
practice of making some spooky stuff happening,
that'll do it. And what do they do with the ashes? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
And why don't you just cremate somebody if they're going to be ashes anyway and you're going to scrape them out?
Yeah.
I mean, and the cemeteries are beautiful.
They cremate the bodies before they put them in the...
No. What happens is, after a year, the body decomposes.
Yeah, it rots in there. Yeah.
So why don't you just burn it anyway and make it ash right away?
Yeah, exactly. And then it's not being eaten by rats or something.
Right.
Like, and then starting the bubonic plague, because that's how the Black Plague started.
Right.
You had bodies that were just, so many people were dying, they just threw them in the streets because people were idiots back then and fucking lazy.
Right.
And then a rat would fucking eat the body and then spread a disease, and then so you get bitten by a rat, Black Plague or whatever. I don't know how it happened, but
is that how AIDS started too? Or
I think so. Or someone fucked a baboon in the mouth, or it's a government project to depopulate. Who knows?
I've heard that too.
Who knows?
But yeah, it's a pretty spooky city. I mean, and there's a lot of interesting tales. I mean, but I haven't seen any ghosts yet. Or I haven't seen any vampires. I'm looking for vampires. I thought I'd be here to be like an Anne Rice novel. There'd be like, you know, two girls sucking my blood right now and just that kind of thing.
You know what's like not real is like someone who drinks your blood and then turns into a bat and then flies around. That's not real. You know what is real? It's just like a murderer.
Yes.
Like, that's real.
Right.
Like someone could just cut your wrists and fucking watch you bleed out and jerk off to your fucking body.
Well, that's what they said these guys did. I'm not saying that they're vampires, but they said that they would cut their wrists and suck the blood out of the wrist. Like, they were actually sucking the blood. It's not that they were...
But that's just a crazy person. That's not got anything to do with a vampire.
Well, who knows? I mean, there's no ashes in the coffin. Who's to say?
Someone.
But the vampire tour is pretty creepy.
Yeah, but if you're willing to go to the length of drinking someone's blood, like, then you... Like, maybe you have other creepy friends where it's like they would steal each other's ashes or, you know, anyone could grave rob.
Right.
Like, you know, so... Could have been like, hey, if I die, then grave rob my body, use my ashes in a ceremony, burn them in the woods, gain my vampire, whatever their fucking hocus pocus.
You think that's
what
they're doing?
Whatever.
All right, that's
who
possible.
Knows?
That's
possible. Oh, what's the alternative thing?
They were vampires,
and their bodies disappear after a year.
Well,
there was no goo in this. How could that? I don't know. What about also Katrina? You know, it's like, during Katrina, more people just died, you know, dying on the cemeteries, floating. I was hearing fucked up shit. Lace Taylor was telling me that during Katrina, like, if people were looting, they had private Blackwater mercenaries that were just shooting people in helicopters.
Really?
Who were trying to loot abandoned facilities where all the storage, all the stuff was going to get fucking flooded anyway.
You know
what I mean?
You know, I mean... You say that, it shocked me initially, but then now I'm like, I can see that. I can see that.
Man, that's fucked up. Like, that's the really government hires mercenaries to be like, just go shoot people from a helicopter who are trying to get fresh water to live for that week.
Right.
When the store is getting flooded and totally
And then,
bought and sold by the insurance company anyway.
Sure, and then, I mean, the stories I heard from the Superdome and all this other stuff.
It's like, you can't work, people are shut down. It's like, no, the fact that anyone didn't have food is what's fucked up. Anyone's alive without food? How about instead of fucking bullets from the sky, you shoot some fucking burgers or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's like, Bill Hicks had this joke about this situation. Like, instead of, like, shooting missiles, like, shoot food.
Right.
You know? But it's, man, makes me think,
like, and 10 years later, really, I mean, it's, I mean, there's been, it's still, the poverty is palpable.
And like one month of Iraq would pay for every single American's college education.
No, don't get me started.
So
no,
it's
don't
just,
don't get me started.
And like, you know, Halliburton has this thing where if there was a convoy of trucks, and then one of the trucks would pop a tire, Halliburton would pull it over and blow it up. So that, you know why? So that Halliburton can say, hey, U.S. government, we lost a tank due to maintenance issues. We need to charge you for building another one.
Oh, get me started.
So if they popped a tire, it got to they would blow it up.
Right. I actually, I was on Facebook today, and somebody posted this, and I've got to go back in the news to see what exactly the full quote is, because I'm sure it was taken out of context. But they asked Jeb Bush about the Oregon shootings that just happened, and he said, "Stuff happens." Now, I'm sure that's part of a complete quote, but yeah.
Well, is he trying to create the bad guy image? Like, is he trying to be like an evil?
No, I don't think at all. And if I was him. And by the way, unfortunately, very unfortunately, I think he's going to be the Republican nominee. And I think Clinton's going to be the Democratic nominee. I think it's already set in stone. But unless Biden gets in.
Sanders
has no chance. I wish he did.
No chance?
In my opinion, I wish he did. I like him. I like that he was the one guy, one of the few guys that voted against the Patriot Act, voted against the Iraq War, because it's not that many. Hillary Clinton's not one of them. Biden, Obama, Kerry—they're not. They voted for the Iraq War.
Which one is a hybrid alien, draconian? Which one's an alien?
Of the candidates, oh, probably all of them except for, but I mean Trump obviously—that's what the hair's covering up.
Right.
But Trump—it's funny because the Trump thing, I was trying to figure it out because I was like, wait a second—he doesn't want to be president. He couldn't stand a pay cut. He doesn't want the responsibility. What's he doing? And then when they had the debate where somebody asked Jeb Bush a question in Spanish, and he answered in Spanish, and then Trump jumped all over him, like, wait, okay, I see what's going on here. He's trying to set people up so Jeb Bush looks moderate, so that they would vote for him.
Right.
And which sucks, because we've had enough Bush in the White House.
But Trump, I think it's just a vanity project for him. I think, like, you know, he runs Miss America. He's like, I like all the beautiful women. I want to be the president. For me, it just seems like he's just like, for him, it's something to brag about at the country club. Like, it doesn't seem like he really cares about it.
That's for sure. There's a back end in the for him. There's a back end in several ways for him. And I think he could end up in the cabinet. Right. I don't think he ends up as president.
What do you think that his aim is?
I think
he's there to look like the crazy guy so that Jeb Bush looks normal.
Right.
But I just think, like, who thinks it's normal that Bush and Clinton is the only choice we've had in this country for fucking 30 years? Like, that's not
that is normal.
That's not normal.
It's not normal, but that's what's happened.
That's not okay. That's
like, I didn't say it's okay.
Isn't that like a monarchy instead of like...
That's exactly a monarchy.
Yeah, that's not okay, right?
It's not to me. Yes. And, you know, Obama's related to Bush and Cheney.
Right.
So...
It's creepy.
Yeah. No, it trust me, to me, I can't stand it. I voted third party as long as I can remember.
Do you think that when Cheney's relative unloaded a load into Obama's mom, that like a dog was burned alive?
I don't know what happened. Who knows? I haven't heard that theory. When I was on Seafree Show, they were talking about the Prime Minister of England apparently fucked a pig, and that's like one of the rituals or
yeah.
something.
He got into a fraternity in college by fucking a pig in the mouth. And that's like, oh, well, did you... Sandra, you can't really be Prime Minister of England. You can't hold the top. Why, Mommy? Why can't I be a Prime Minister of England? Well, you didn't fuck a pig in the face. I got perfect grades, Mommy.
Yeah.
I know, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've proved myself in a meritocracy. Yeah. Well, that's not really what we're doing here. Yeah. What we're doing here is if you're an inbred old racist fucko,
right.
and you fuck a pig in the face, you're like, I'll do it. I want to be this friend. I want friends. I want to be this friend.
Right. And then Skull and Bones, they make you jerk off in a coffin in front of
Right. Well, that's only just the level one of what they make you
right,
do.
Right. What's level two? I
you're watching.
I'm behind the conspiracy.
You go, hey, can I just watch? And then you just jerk off in a corner. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
just like the orgy place. If you're gonna really watch, you gotta.
Right.
But then you get to a certain level, you don't even ask. Right. You just bust a nut in that suit, you know.
Right.
From the Eves.
So.
I have some plugs I want to put down. I have a movie coming out called Theater of the Deranged 2.
Nice.
Comes out with Troma. That is October 13th, but you can pre-order it today on Amazon. It's coming out in Blu-ray. Theater of the Deranged 2. I play a character called Damien Shadows. Mark White is going to battle Kyle Woods at Sunday Roast Battle of the La Nuit, which will be October 18th. Doors open at 7:30. The show is at 8 p.m. Boom.
It's going to be brutal.
Are you ready for it?
Oh, please. I'm going to make
we were,
it.
We
I'm going to annihilate him. It's ridiculous.
You think it's going to go two rounds and it's going to be over?
The thing is, I don't even want to win. I just want to make a quick comedy, and I think I can achieve that.
Jesus!
That's how brutal I'm going to be.
I'm going to battle Ken Passman in the final round of this. I mean, I, you know, I want to get my hands dirty. I want to jump in there.
Well, I can see you. I can see you as a good roaster now. I can see already. You do have a mean streak about you. You do have an edge about you. And
mean streak?
You do a little bit.
Accusations.
I think so. I mean, you're a nice guy, but there's a twinge of. Of hate underneath.
I just don't like bullshit. You know, like if you're always square with me, you're not gonna have any problems.
Right.
If you do anything surreptitious, I'm gonna find out about it, and I'm gonna be very angry about that.
Right.
So that's how it works. But you know what I mean?
Like when you look at the Comedy Central roast, there's a difference between, say, an Amy Schumer and a Lisa Lampanelli. Lisa Lampanelli is just mean.
Yeah.
Just and Amy Schumer's maybe doing the exact same jokes. It's not that mean.
Yeah.
And
there's a twinge of niceness to it or naivety.
Right.
But like Lisa Lampanelli knows exactly what she's saying.
Right.
And she's trying to make
when
you
Greg Giraldo was alive, he was mean.
Yeah.
If you look at the old roast, Don Rickles was mean and you know, it just Pat Cooper was mean and just
you
horrible.
Want that. You want that.
Oh, you're
going to
get
feel
oh,
like
oh,
oh,
you're going to get it. I told you I did a roast for this guy in LA, Perry Kurtz. This guy's like 62 years old. Looks like Larry King with Down syndrome and I went up and it was funny cuz people went up, they did their two or three Comedy Central jokes that they thought were great and they weren't. And then they started to interact. It was awful. There were like maybe two comedians that were good. And then I went up there and just destroyed the guy for 20 minutes. Just foul, mean. he had to leave the room. And when he left the room, I was merciless. When he came back, I was merciless. He raps during his act. He's 62 years old, and I was rapping. Every time I would start rapping, people would just fall out. I was in such a horrible, foul mood at that time. It was just mean.
You were just taking it out.
Right.
You were telling me the other day that you saw fist fights in the Los Angeles comedy scene.
I did.
Comics who were talking shit on each other all of a sudden breaks into fist fighting.
I've seen that. I've seen that many a time.
See, I think the healthiest way to channel our innate aggression to each other. It's like, no, don't do it passive aggressive. Do it super aggressive, and let's charge a mission at the door.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just do it. If you know, you guys got beef, like, fucking work it out on stage.
Right.
And then, like, the other one gets to talk shit because they fucking won. That's what happens.
You would think.
You know what I mean?
You would think. See, the thing is, I don't drink while when I do comedy. So I'm always sober when I'm doing sets, but I'm one of the few. I mean, and there's people that I would say most people smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually no problem there. It's the heavy drinkers; they're the ones that start talking shit and having beef.
Right.
And that's what you're gonna say.
You think alcohol just makes people mean?
I think all the fistfights that I've seen with comics. That's been the cause.
Yeah.
I mean, there's underlying things, and people will talk shit, you know, about other comics, but if for something to escalate to a fist fight, there's alcohol is usually involved, and there's a lot of alcohol.
Right. It's New Orleans.
Well, that's L.A. Here, all the comics are real nice. I mean, I so far, everybody's been real nice.
You think there's more drunk, mean people in Los Angeles than New Orleans?
Comedians. No, here, I've seen fights outside of comedy. I mean, I've seen fights on Bourbon Street. I've seen fights here. Right. I mean, you know, I heard gunshots the other day outside of my house. So, obviously, somebody's got some beef. But comics here have
maybe they just wanted drugs.
That's possible, too. And apparently, they're there to be found around my place.
Right.
But I live in the 7th Ward. It's nice. But you know, you were saying that you've... When you were in New York, you were in L.A., you never saw any beef, but you probably had to stay till closing because there was a lot of beef.
Well, I think I just always had a mentality of just trying to, like, just do my stuff. And, you know, if someone didn't think I was funny, I would just kind of, like, keep going back. But then, like, you know, it's I don't want to talk about this. Anyway, let's...
How did you hook up with Trauma?
You know, this guy called James Cullen Brusak, he was the executive producer, and he's got a lot of things made, and like, he's got a movie out, Pernicious. He made a movie called Hate Crime. He's made a bunch of movies, and he put together a anthology movie before called Theater of the Deranged.
Right.
And I had just been working on a pilot and a little run of a web series called Damien Shadows. And I just thought that the Damien Shadows character could be the best host of this anthology. And, you know, we became friendly through a guy called Jody Barton, and who was my roommate at the time. And, you know, we just put together
So you've got a little goth in you, Damien Shadows.
Yeah, I just think I was kind of making fun of it, because if you watch Damien Shadows, it's like this idiot... guy who thinks he's a vampire, and then he, like, ghost hunts, and he's just completely delusional, and he's like internet famous, and it goes to his head.
That's great.
And it's
is that still on the internet?
Yeah, check it out. Damien Shadows, PI, psychic investigator. The pilot is the best thing we did, but we also did a little run of a web series. We also did something called Debunking mit Wilhelm Skeptisch, and my friend Calder Holbrook pretend to be Wilhelm Skeptisch, and he debunked the Damien Shadows myth. He just, like, went over every single prank that we did, or, like, ghost detecting device that we used, and completely ripped it apart for being the shittiest stuff in the world.
That's great.
So I wanted to make, even when I made a web series, I made this, I played a guy who was a complete occultist who believed everything, who was always spending money on different gadgets and getting ripped off by all these different people who sold him stupid shit that didn't work, and he was the only one who didn't know that.
That's great.
And I did the other side. So I don't know, I always like a certain animosity. I think that gets the conversation going. I think it's important in general with comedy, where you get the conversation going, because, you know, so many political correct people are like, oh, well, you can't do this joke. Oh, comics are just keeping the patriarchy going. They're making rape culture happen. But it's like they're getting the conversation started.
Right.
Some bloggers, you know.
Oh, because,
feminist bloggers and stuff.
No, well, I mean, I guess there are a lot of rape jokes now. I don't have any in my act because I've never raped anybody. But, I mean, and I think, you know, probably the only funny rape joke I can think of is when George Carlin said, you know, rapists, do they have boners before they rape, or is it during the rape, you know? But but they're not. I mean, that has nothing to do with rape culture. I don't know. That's weird.
Establishing the patriarchy. Anyway, whatever.
But I met Lloyd Kaufman of Troma at Kamikaze last year. Real super nice guy. And,
oh, yeah. He's
fun. And a Toxic right. Avenger.
You met the nice. Toxic Avenger?
Yes, I got a picture taken with
him. In the flesh?
In the flesh. It was a real toxic.
In the radioactive
yes.
sewage dump flesh of his?
Yes.
Wow.
But yeah, I was at a comic convention, Kamikaze. And
yeah.
I did interviews there for my podcast, and he was real nice. And but he was like a rock star, man. There was a whole line to get to him, and I had to wait, but it was worth it.
Oh yeah.
But my battery and my recorder went. He was like the last interview, and it cut him off.
Oh no.
I also interviewed Tommy Wiseau, who directed the movie The Room. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of The Room?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Oh, that dude was the greatest. He was selling underwear there. Tommy Wiseau underwear. I'm like, oh.
What kind of underwear? Like ladies' panties?
No. It was guys like real skin tight, like boxer briefs.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I got the underwear and it's got the pocket and I'm like, and it was like he's like, and guys they wear the underwear, the girls like it. I'm like, oh, some of the guys too. He's like, oh yeah.
Oh.
Man. Like, yeah. What do you think of people thinking saying it's the worst movie ever? Oh, I don't think about it. He is what he is, and it's brilliant.
It is weird though, where it's like even like people who have made movies that you've seen, like they're also selling underwear. You know, like the movie business is like such
and this guy,
tenuous way to make money.
That movie actually is probably has made a lot of money.
Right.
It played in Hollywood for years. It still plays on the midnight circuit all over.
Right.
And he had money to begin with because he put his own money up for it. He had a billboard on Hollywood Boulevard for like 8 years, and if he put $6 million into the movie, it's probably made like on video, and with the theatrics and all the the other stuff, at least 30-40 million, I would think.
And he's also hawking underwear.
Yeah, well, I think that's just an ego trip. I don't know what his deal is.
He just likes being around it. I like the fabrics.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we got enough for a podcast, man. All right, well, thanks for being on the podcast. Want to keep on going with your plugs. October 18th, you're going to be
at the Sunday Roast Battle. Destroying at the Roast Battle. And go to gothcomedian.com. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all Goth Comedian. And check out the Dark Mark Show. You can link it through Goth Comedian or darkmarkshow.com.
So the Dark Mark Show is all archived from when you were in Los Angeles doing that.
That's correct.
How many episodes did you guys put together?
Probably about 100. And it's different places, but mostly it's at Skid Row Studios. And there's even some back in the day when I did the John Lovitz Club and did it at some guy's house too. So a lot of freaky, weird stuff there. Mm-hmm. Tasing, fire, all sorts of stuff.
In my podcast,
yes.
You did some fetish stuff, you did some bondage and some torture porn.
Well, no torture porn, but it was pretty close.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's entertaining.
It was very entertaining. We had a lot of stuff. I'm trying to think. Oh, we had electro play. We had all sorts of stuff on the show.
Electro
play.
Nice. All right, well, that's been another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary in the Bag.